Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
This morning, we're going to talk about sacred geography. Sacred geography. Genesis 28, 16 and 17. The Word of God says, "When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.' He was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.'" May God bless the reading of His Word. How often do we miss God and not realize it? In the 5th century AD, the Celtic Christians had a phrase they used. The phrase was thin places. And thin places were places where there was a very thin wall between the spiritual and the material and heaven and earth. And they would visit geographical areas, old monastery ruins, and they would say, "Be careful, it's a thin place." Some people are thin places. It means it's a person, a place, an opportunity where heaven and earth is separated by only a thin, paper-thin covering. Loved one, we are so certain that we know where to find God. But did you know that He surprises us all the time? Jacob in this story, if you're not familiar with your Bible, Jacob is 77 years old and a bachelor. And all the men said, "There's hope. He's unmarried. He doesn't have a child. You didn't know he was that old. You thought he was like 22, right? Is everyone 22 or is it me?" I saw a worship leader who was 16 years old the other day, and I just went, "Oh my gosh, I'm missing something." But Jacob, you'd think he's in his 20s. He's 77 years old. Let me frame the story. He's a mama's boy. He's a houseplant. Mama used to call me a houseplant. Jacob was a houseplant. Had never been away from home. Never been married. And his daddy, Isaac, is old and blind, and it's just about the time that Isaac is going to give the birth blessing, the birthright blessing. And Jacob lies to his father, dresses up in an Esau suit, sneaks in under his mom's counsel, and they connive and they steal the birthright right out from under Isaac, and they take it away from Esau. Esau is so mad, he's going to kill Jacob. And so mama sends Jacob on a 500-mile journey. He's never been away from home. He's 77. I think we need to call the therapists in real quick. Never been away from home. He's always had everything. He's a mama's boy. He's been spoiled his entire life. Daddy's rejected him. Mama's dominating him. You know, nothing worse than a domineering mother or an absent father. You think you have a dysfunctional family. Look at this. Patriarchs. Good Lord. Never see more of a mess in your life than what the Bible portrays. But somehow, by the time Jacob dies, he has fulfilled the will of God. He has 12 sons that become the 12 tribes, and out of the tribe of Judah comes the Messiah. God can take a mess and make a message. Look in the mirror. I got the right crowd. Isn't it true? So Jacob is running. He's 50 miles into his 500-mile journey, and he's 2 days into it. And the scripture says that as it grows dark, that he finds himself in a place surrounded by stones. It sort of looks like a moonscape. Looks like a lunar landscape. Nothing but stones. By the way, the terrain hasn't changed in 3,000 years. You can still go visit this site. Looks about the same. And the scripture says, here he is for the first time away from home. He's running from his own manipulation and control and the mess that he's made of his life. Have you ever made a mess and had to leave? Well, he runs to a place that you would think God would never be in. Do you know there was a cultural idea at Jacob's time that if you left your neighborhood or your country, you left your God? You know, like, I've left the Lord. That's what the pagans thought. When you went out of their jurisdiction, you left the authority of their God. He was only the God of the hills or the valleys, but he wasn't the God of everything. And so Jacob is, he's never heard from God, never been married, never had a kid, and he's all alone. And he comes to a place of stones. And the Bible says he takes an oblong stone and he puts it under his head. You know, stones are, their value is distinct in terms of what you do with them. You can throw stones and kill somebody. You can weight down a dead body with stones and sink something into the depths of shame and guilt. And or you can build something with stones. But I want you to see that Jacob is in a place where he's never heard from God. He's not a saved man. But God chooses that place to speak. Did you know that God, in our time of, in our culture, we are in a lot of pain, a lot of anguish. But even in that place, that stony place, God can reveal himself. Even here, I don't know where you are in your life right now. You may be in a rocky place. You may be in a moonscape. You say, Craig, you prophesied my life. It's all right. You cannot outrun the grace of God. You cannot outrun the sovereignty of God. Jacob thinks he's escaped something, and he's also worried because his brother Esau is a tracker and a hunter, and he wants him dead. So you imagine every noise in the evening when he's trying to sleep on his stone pillow. What's that? You know. It's my son Grant. Grant goes, He's got a gun now. Daddy got up at 3:30 and thought he'd take a little drive through the drive-thru, and I come in the back door and he goes, Dad? I said, yes, it's me. It's Daddy, don't you? Don't tell anyone I said that. Anyway, we're going to talk about sacred geography. Love, he's the God of thin places, loved one. Thin places were made visible here and there when God broke in. A thin place is the intersection between eternity and time. You know, there's two interesting Greek words. One is chronos. That speaks of the 9 to 5 of your life, chronology we get from that. And one word is kairos, a Greek word that means an intersection that crosses your chronological 9 to 5. It means that you're just walking on your timeline, doing your life, whatever's normal to you, and God is able to intersect that chronos, that 9 to 5, that snippet of your normal, boring, dull life. Is God even alive? Is he real? Does he care about me? And boom, a kairos comes. That's when the Lord suddenly, you find yourself in a thin place. Has it ever happened? You're on the phone with somebody and somehow God takes over the conversation and you hear the right thing at the right time, the right way. You meet someone you haven't seen in a long time and you open your heart and you begin to share, and somehow a kairos comes. Somehow God makes that stony place come alive with his presence where you would never expect it. You know, I've got so many friends in ministry, and they have blinders on. They're certain they know how to find God and where to find God and how to box him up and package him just right. Guess what? When you have a box, you think God is in it, open it up. There's an empty box. He will not be contained. He will not be contained. I had a friend of mine recently say, you guys still at that hotel? I said, yeah, we're still here. I got a lot of wonderful friends that bought a lot of big stuff and they're landlocked and their overhead is killing them and they can't sleep at night. We can sleep at night right now, thank God. For right now. Now I'm sure when I build that cathedral that looks just like me. He was running so well and then the rich people came in. Okay. Loved one, we're, don't be so certain where God's going to move and how God's going to move, because he will surprise you with joy. So Jacob is laying on a pillow and he's a little frightened and he's never left home. He's insecure. He has no sense of a future and he has no money and he has no hope. And the Bible says as he laid his head on that stone pillow that God Almighty gave him a vision, and it was an amazing vision of a ladder, not like you're thinking of, more like an escalator. Imagine a huge escalator at the Thousand Oaks Mall, and there are angels, populated by angels, ascending and descending. Jacob has this dream of God, and he finds himself in a second, in this isolated place. He is in the center of where God is moving in the world. God says, honey, you locked me into being at home with mama and daddy. I'm bigger than that. In fact, wherever you go, there I am. Loved one, our God is so big, he's everywhere, everywhere. You can only be here now. He can be everywhere, everywhere. And where Jacob least expected it, in that sacred geography, he found it was a thin place. God broke in and God said, honey, not only am I here, but you just so happened. I love the phrasing. It's called happening upon the holy. It says he just happened to come to a spot. And he just happened to lay down. And he just happened to put his head on a stone. And it just happened to be the very place on earth that was the center of God's activity. A place that looked like a moon landscape. In some of your lives, you go, yep, it looks more like Mars, Craig, if you know my life. Okay, it's all right. Because wherever you go, God will show you that he is active and present in a place you would never think you would find him. And we just use the phrase that place. I don't know what that place is in your life. It's some place that doesn't look like anything's right. It looks like everything's wrong. And even there, that's when he will speak. Even there. And you go, no, not in this place, Lord. I had a beautiful man that I knew. His name was Dick Mills. He was a prophet with honor. Beautiful prophetic man. He used to have a wonderful way of talking. He said, Craig, I got to tell you a story. He goes, I'm at a convention and I'm walking in and the Lord tells me to go into the bar. So he goes into the bar and he's sitting there and all these Christians are wandering around seeing the leader in the bar. I'm sure he's getting a club soda. And he's sitting in this bar and it's just nasty stuff going on. And he sat there and he sat there and he sat there until a man sat down, just torn and broken. And Dick Mills said, sir, I got a beautiful word for you. Gave him some prophetic words that revived his heart. But God moving in that place, everywhere you go, he is present. Most people don't go to church. I understand. They've been. I don't like to go to church. I love you.
Love you too,
I go and visit these big, huge ministries, which are wonderful. But I had a VIP access backstage, 25,000 people, and I'm just thinking, I got to get home. It's good. I mean, I preached in Nigeria to 150,000 people. I did that. Okay, that's nice. But I like to come home. God will have to drag me out of here with a hook. He's going to do it soon. He keeps telling me, Craig, as soon as my fire comes through, there's a reformation coming through and you have to step out the door. And I just go, la, 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 la. It's like the 11-year-old does. I can't hear you what you're saying. Uh-huh. But wouldn't it be better to sit you in the back and have God call you to the front? Isn't that a delicious idea than you putting yourself in the front? I was 25 years ago, I was at a meeting, and I won't tell you who it was. It was a healing evangelist. And I'm sitting up on the platform, and, you know, it's horrible to sit on the platform because when you have to go to the bathroom, you know what I mean? It's like, and this guy did five-hour services, okay? And I was on the platform so long that we all saw a guy come sit in the front row, the VIP section, where only God and Pat Boone can sit. And we saw this little guy come up and like sit down, and we waited, and finally there's 9,000 people in the Anaheim Convention Center, and then we saw security come up and let that little guy go, no, you're going to get it. And we all went, yes! He had pridefully put himself in the front, and he got put back. But did you know in our season, God, loved one, God's going to meet you where you are. And he is going to show you that he is very much alive, very much sovereign, very much in control. And Jacob is dreaming and he sees this huge escalator with angels everywhere. And he goes, and the Lord speaks to him. Loved one, I'm telling you, he gives six promises to Jacob. In Genesis 28, 13, the first promise, I will give you this land. He says, Jacob, the land you're laying on right now. Jacob's a conniver, a schemer. He's always been trying to do it his way, and it never works. Do you know when you're moving, shaking, and history making, and everything you do is made of wood, hay, and stubble, and God just doesn't bless it? You ever done something that just was cursed and burnt down? You said, I thought that was a good idea. Yes, you did, and no one pays you to think. We all have bomb craters where a life used to be. But I want you to see Jacob's laying there, and he's not even a saved man. He doesn't even know God, but God does not come to him in anger. He doesn't come to him in rebuke. He doesn't come to him and tell him he's going to go to hell. He doesn't come and just say, you're worthless. The first thing he does is he addresses his shame. He said, I'm the God of your father, Abraham. He addresses the betrayal he's experienced. He says, I'm the God of Isaac. He addresses the loss of a homeland. I will give you this land you're laying on. Something he can earn? No, something he's laying on. Did you know he couldn't manipulate God, but the Bible says he found God when he fell asleep? Isn't God strange? He'll put you to sleep where you cannot work. You cannot do anything. Loved one, you're a human being, not a human doing. God didn't marry you to work for him. Oh, you'll get that someday and it'll be wonderful. Now, if you work for him after you know him, that's wonderful. That's fruit that is produced from a delicious union of intimacy. But he didn't marry you to work for him. He doesn't want you to accept Jesus as your Savior so that you can be his work donkey. Right? And then put his name on it when you're chain smoking, like a chain smoking chihuahua. I smoked 3 packs a day for 10 years, lit one cigarette off another. I drank 24 cans of Diet Coke a day. Gee, why aren't you further along in ministry? I was a chain smoking chihuahua. You know what I mean? I trying to serve God and really, you know, let's do something, let's build something. And I realized the whole time, God, I was not a human doing, I was a human being. And if God would have blessed anything I did in my own strength, it would have been built by my hands. Did you know God is, he's destroying all man-made things right now. The God-made things are going to survive. You remember I've told you before, the Bible says Samuel the prophet anointed Saul. He anointed him with a flask, a container, a man-made container. Saul was that kind of a guy. He was a man-made, best-looking hunk of flesh in the empire, head and shoulders taller, Fabio on stair, all right? The people were that surface that they wanted that, and so Samuel anointed him with oil, but he used a man-made container to do it, and that told a lot about Saul. He was going to be a man-made guy. But when he anointed David, the Bible says he took his horn, filled it with oil, and went to David. He took a living thing. He took something that had been alive, a container that represented fresh life, and he anointed David. And David was the man after God's own heart. Amen? So many people have been anointed. You know, in times of battle, sometimes it's called a battlefield promotion. Everyone's dead but you, so they put you in charge. There's sort of a laying on of hands in the moment. Well, everybody's dead. Craig, you lead. But, you know, after the battle and you go home, there's a laying off of hands. Battlefield commissions are revoked sometimes. Come on. You ever seen in the ministry, God's had to revoke? He'd use anybody. He can strike a straight blow with a crooked stick. But once the commission for that task is over, he's got to, like, retire the crooked stick. Well, not yet. Not yet. You know, I told my baby the other day, I said, honey, I said, do you see a straight pool cue and a crooked pool cue leaning against the wall? Do you have any problem seeing which one is crooked? No, a five-year-old will say, that's crooked. Which one is the straight one? That one. Which one is the crooked one? That one. C.S. Lewis said, if you don't have an idea of a straight line, you wouldn't know what a crooked line is. It isn't hard to see what's legitimate and what's authentic. But God is so passionate about reaching our culture and our world that he has to sort of parse things down and prune things down to some folks that really love sheep. You know, if you're a shepherd, you smell like sheep. If you don't smell like sheep, you're not a shepherd, whatever you are. A CEO. I'm allergic to sheep, you know. I talked to one young guy, he's like 26, he has like 9 million people in his church and he's got 4 phones. And have you ever just felt old with some of these young people? It's just like, you know, it's like, hold on, I'll be there in a minute, you know. And I'm trying to talk to this kid, and he's talking on four phones, and he was talking to his leadership staff. His leadership staff. It was wonderful. But I just thought, oh, my God, honey, who are you going to call in the middle of the night when your life burns down? Whew. Loved one, some of you know what it's like to wander away from a mess that you made, but good news, God will meet you even there. And you just go, here with all the rocks and nobody around, and Esau's going to get me any minute? Yeah, yeah. And you know what God does? He comes down and he says, honey, Jacob, I'm God. I'm going to give you the land you're laying on. Genesis 28:13. He says, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. Genesis 28:14. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 28:14. I will watch over you wherever you go. Genesis 28:15. I will bring you back to this land. 28:15. I will never leave you or forsake you. 28:15. He deals with his shame, his having been betrayed, his loss of a homeland, his own insignificance, the loss of his family, the fear of the future. God is addressing him in that place, that unexpected middle of pain, middle of divorce, middle of sexual sin, in the middle of whatever that place is for you. That's the place. Even there, God speaks. In fact, more profoundly does he speak in those thin places. Think about it. Are you a thin place? I don't mean your girth. I mean, when people talk to you, is there a thin line between heaven and earth where they can hear from heaven? You know, there's just some people that lift you up. I always say you can give or you can take. You can build people up or you can tear them down. You can be part of the solution. You can be part of the problem. Those are the only options. You know, when you're around a safe person, you're given to, you're built up, you're encouraged, you leave better than when you came in. That's a thin place. They'd say, be careful. It's a thin place in there. You got to watch. Some folk you don't even know that you would least expect are holy ground. You go, well, I know that person's story. No, you don't know. If you don't know someone firsthand, it's a monstrous blasphemy to claim to write a biography of someone with whom you've never lived. If you knew the stuff I've heard about me, I had somebody come up and tell me all about me, and they didn't know I was me. And everything they said was wrong, and I went, wow. I said, I gotta watch out for that guy. Just assume everything you've heard is wrong. Even what you thought about you is wrong. Sacred geography, honey, it will happen where you least expect it. Did you know God will use his... I have a friend. And she has a child that went into the pornography industry, became a very famous porn star. Raised in church all her life. All of her life. Loved that girl like I love one of my own kids. And she told me... She said, Pastor, I'm in the middle of oblivion. I am where, and she said, she's getting made up to do a shoot, and the lady that was doing her makeup and doing her hair, her mother had just died in a home after having been abused by someone in a convalescent home. Her brother found out about it and was so distraught he went and killed himself. One day she loses her mama. Same day her brother kills himself. And the only person in town, she's being made up for the shoot. And she said, the Spirit of God came on me. And I ministered to that woman, and I told her God loved her and had a plan for her life. And I told her, don't take your life. It's not yours to take. This is going to turn around. Loved one, don't you tell me God isn't going to show up wherever he's going to show up. Why, she's in sin. So are you somewhere in word, thought, or deed. I don't need to know. Don't tell me. Please don't tell me. I've got enough of my own thoughts. Pastor Craig, you know, no. What are you going to tell me? When I was 15, I don't want to, no. I've got a great therapist. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. That means confess your predispositions to sin to one another, not the actual list, the hit list. There are some people, you meet them for 20 minutes and they already tell you everything. I was raped when I was six, and then I just made wrong decisions. It's like, you know, what's your name? I'm sorry. My name's Craig. Overdisclosure. We don't need that. But here's the good news. God knows everything about you. From eternity, he knew everything you were going to do, and he still made a sacred place, a thin place, where he's going to show up, and he's going to bless you. And all the pieces, all the threads of the tapestry are going to make sense. All the little chip pieces of the mosaic, when you step back just right, give a whole story of symmetry and sovereignty. So let's not be too quick to tell God where to move. You know, God usually ignores our maps. Have you noticed that? He ignores our maps. And when you're in a moonscape of rocks somewhere. I remember when I was a boy, I went to Israel for the first time in the early 80s, and I was by myself. I was freaked out. I was so excited to be there. I was on the beach at Tel Aviv in the middle of the night, and I'm walking by myself. You know, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm in the Holy Land. Maybe Jesus stepped. No, he didn't step on the Tel Aviv beach there, Craig, no. I was the kid that brought a rock from every site because Jesus may have seen it, and then they made me throw all the rocks out before I got on the bus. And they said, no, Craig, Jesus, you'd have to dig down 60 feet to find where he was. Boy, was that depressing. But for those of you that scoop up a little bit of sand from Caesarea and go, Christ walked on. No, he didn't. But I was all alone in Tel Aviv, and I was walking, and I was just thinking about some decisions I'd just made in my life that were wrong. And I didn't know what to do. Do you know sometimes you can't talk to anybody? You know, when I was little, you couldn't talk to ministry people. I go, I'm back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. If you confessed a sin to a leader, you would die the death of 1,000 cuts. They would never, ever, you could never confess any weakness, even when it was slight and stupid. Now I think of the things I was struggling with when I'm 19 years old. It's so stupid, but there was no one to talk to. And if you tell your stuff to somebody, the wrong somebody, they can destroy you. So that's going to make you real open for relational business, isn't it? You will put a porcupine suit on, and you will hide everything that you know is a weakness. But the good news is God knows everything about you from eternity. And when I'm in Tel Aviv, it's like I felt the Holy Spirit say, Craig, before you were conceived, I knew every sin you were going to commit, and I chose you anyway. That's how big I am. Don't worry about the devil. He's God's devil, as Spurgeon said. He's on a leash. Don't you be afraid of any creature. He's only a creature. God is so sovereign, beloved, that he knew everything Jacob was going to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm comforted he was 77. I'm closing this up. Don't worry. But here's the good news. Even in that place where you are right now, even there, even here, even there, he will break through with an evidence of his activity. Jacob wakes up and he goes, surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. Well, welcome to the club. That horrible set of circumstances, that painful season of your life, reaping the results of your own stupidity and consequences, even there, that's where he will shape you and that's where he will guide you. You know, I look back at my life now, I'm 58. I wouldn't change anything, really. You know how you always think, well, I would never have, you know, married that. No. Thank God. I wouldn't have my children. If I hadn't been everywhere I've been in every strand of that tapestry, I wouldn't have. I couldn't be who I am right now. Through his grace and his mercy, he kept me alive. And he said, I love you. I'm with you. I'll put you to sleep, Craig, for decades. Someone asked me, what's your anointing? I said, it's the Rumpelstiltskin anointing. I fell asleep about 1979. I'm just getting up just... Did you know when animals do not have the proper food and it isn't the proper season for them, they hibernate? It's called hibernation. It's not death or sleep. It's hibernation. Because the season isn't right. Pastor Joel did a message last week you should hear called Seasons of Silence, where he talks about God hiding you. When God hides something, it can't be found. sometimes God will take you as wonderful and glorious as you are and as indispensable as you are, and he will put you into hibernation. You'll put your gift into hibernation, your ministry into hibernation, and you're pulling your hair out going, what is this? What meaneth this? You're hibernating, sweetheart. But I'm getting old. He was 77 when he got born again. And before he met Rachel, remember Rachel? He's crazy about Rachel. And he goes and he lifts a stone off the well and it says he kisses her and started sobbing. 77 is when that happens. I'm preaching these old texts. You can't stop me. You see, you're right on time. You're right on time. You're right on time. God is so sovereign that he'll bring you to a thin place. Just be sensitive to thin places. My Lord, there are some places coming up for you where it's so thin between heaven and earth where God's just going to break in on the other side and he's going to use an unusual stone. Don't throw stones anymore. Don't sink things into secrecy like Dexter. You know, you sink a body in the water. Stones can be used for that too. But you can also lay your head on, and that hard thing becomes the vehicle of revelation. Jacob said, God was in this. I can't believe it. You're going to be saying that the next little while. God was in that, and you're going to be surrounded by men, women, boys, and girls that need you to encourage them to say, even here, you can take the notes home. I wrote it all out for you. It's in the bulletin. Someone needs to hear this week. Even where you've run, you're going to see God give you the greatest confirmation of your life and call you to the fact that he is working. Angels are ascending and descending. And you know what he called the place? Bethel. Now, there's a place called Bethel in Reading. And that guy's name is Johnson, Bill Johnson. So they say, are you related? And I go, no, we're Bethel. See, you say it Bethel. You don't say Bethel. Hebrew is, no, nothing in Hebrew is Bethel. It's Bethel. That's what he says. When he wakes up, he goes, the name of the land was Luz, which meant to turn away, like don't, you know, like get out of here. And he changes the name to Bethel. He goes, surely God was in this place and I didn't know it. And it's the very house of God. It's the very gate of heaven. Did you know that place that you've despised can become the very gate of heaven? It can become the very city and house of God. So I speak that over you in the name of Jesus. Beloved, that place, that stony, rocky, seemingly barren place, that experience, that wound, that abuse, that divorce, all that you survived in that place, he can come to you and say, I'm with you. Loved one, he walked you into the wilderness. He stayed with you in the wilderness, and he will walk with you out of this wilderness. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, Jacob, I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to accomplish everything I promised. But it won't be with Jacob's strength. Jacob will limp and lean on his staff, the Bible says. But he will live to say, the Lord God and his angel have led me all the days of my life. Close your eyes right now for a moment. God loves you. He's crazy about you. He loves you with all of his heart. You are the beloved of the Lord. You're the object of his love. He's not mad at you. He's been searching you down to find you, to bless you. You don't even need to raise your hand. Just in your heart of hearts, say, Lord, have your way. Come and take my life. Forgive me of my sins. Just in your own way. No one's business. Find me, God. Forgive me, God. Let me not die without fulfilling my purpose, God. even here, bless me, visit me, encourage me. God bless you.